In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Our Lady, Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
John Harper in for Drew this afternoon. Drew will be back from his Labor Day, long Labor Day weekend vacation tomorrow afternoon here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And once again, take your calls and your prayer requests for the Divine Mercy Chaplet here on Relevant Radio. And by the way, and you've heard me tell this story before, and if you're a brand new listener to Relevant Radio, or if you've just discovered the chaplet, chances are this will happen to you with the Holy Spirit going to work. You will lock on to one or two or maybe three calls that are just branded into your heart. And I remember calls from 10 years ago as a listener to Relevant Radio and learning and unlocking myself the power of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and always wonder where those people are today and how they're doing. But that's how powerful the chaplet is, and that's how powerful our community is on both sides of the smart speaker, whatever speaker you're hearing us from here on Relevant Radio. And it is just one of the great joys and blessings of not only Relevant Radio in my spiritual life, but I'm sure yours as well. I promise, I like the substitute teacher here who comes in on the first day and gives you a pop quiz. This isn't a pop quiz, but do you remember the first reading from yesterday's Mass, if you went to Mass on Labor Day? It's St. Paul, and he's talking to the believers, and he's using the analogy of yeast to describe sin. And you know, if you've used yeast, if you're a baker, you just use a tiny bit of that, and of course it multiplies very quickly. Well, you know, it's the same thing with sin, right? The gift of free will, it's corrupted by that little bit of yeast that Satan plants in us, and it grows, and before you know it, the sin has become habitual. And Paul also tells us that Christ sacrificed is the answer. And you and I know that. He wants us to live in freedom, so he forgives us every time you and I go into the confessional. The struggle that I have, and maybe you do too, is tapping into and trusting the gift of those graces to really put it to work to overcome the sin that always nags us and that we take into the confessional every single time. My slippery slope is the sin of pride, and it's so easy to commit that sin. You know, oh, if I could only be so humble to understand what true humility is. That's an actual prayer. I pray that so I can recognize it and live it. And sometimes I'm smart enough to pay attention to those moments that the Holy Spirit has put in front of me that I can actually live it. And other times, just whizzes right by like a billboard on the interstate. And it's like, what did I just miss? Well, if that's one of your struggles, Dr. Kevin Vost's new book is really must reading for the foundation of a new you. It's called Humble Strength. Humble Strength, the eye-opening benefits of humility. It's from Ascension Press. Dr. Vost is a writer, a speaker, a psychologist. He's the author of several books, including this most recent one that we're going to talk about right now. He's taught at the University of Level, at Aquinas College in Nashville, and the University of Illinois. You can find him online at drvost.com, drvost.com. Dr. Kevin, it's good to talk to you again here on Relevant Radio. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, John. It's great to be chatting with you again today.
It's great here. You know, when I was going through your book, I was saying, yeah, I'm nodding my head. It's like, yeah, oh man, I got to unlock, you know, the different gifts of the Holy Spirit. And yeah, this makes sense. And then I got to a point that just kind of stopped me. And you tell a very personal story about fear of public speaking when you were in college. And it's be not afraid. And I always get stuck. And maybe that is the center part. I always get stuck in those great words of Pope St. John Paul II of be not afraid. But maybe I'm afraid of humility. Have you found that in your travels that, you know, maybe we're afraid of humility or maybe we just don't understand what it is?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that we can be. We're afraid of it or we think that it's something beyond us. We'll leave that for someone else. We're kind of stuck in our prideful ways. Or it could be a misunderstanding. I know there's a lot of that in the culture. I know for many years I was an atheist, and I remember there were some atheists would attack the idea of Christian humility, thinking it means you're going to think yourself totally worthless. You're going to be unhappy. You're not going to try to achieve great things. When humility is, you know, really a lot more than that. Humility is really deeply tied to reality and truth. It's really knowing ourselves as we are, you know, both in our limitations and our weaknesses. Since the word comes from like humus, from the earth, you know, we come from the soil, we're ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And yet God has chosen to love us and give us all kinds of graces. So humility recognizes, yeah, we have these natural limitations, but we're also blessed and graced by God, and he calls us to do great things for his honor and glory.
I'm glad you mentioned that because humility does not mean milquetoast. And true humility, those times when, and we've all achieved true humility at times, I just pray that it sticks a little bit more. When we've achieved that true humility, there really is that peace. There is that sureness of our faith. I guess I'm being autobiographical here. I shouldn't speak for all of our Relevant Radio listeners, but you know what I'm talking about, that sureness of faith where you have this, we have it all the time, but at special times, there just seems to be this unfettered communication line between you and Jesus.
Yeah, exactly right. With humility, you know, we realize we're never going to, you know, climb to heaven or pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We're too limited. But God's there. We call on him. He's going to listen to us. So that humility kind of opens us up. It helps, you know, quell all of our fears because our focus goes away from ourselves. And just even on the worldly level, you'd mentioned, I talk about fear, a personal story. I had a dread fear of public speaking growing up. I would turn beet red. My voice would crack. I would just dread it. I would sweat. And when I finally overcame that in college, I kind of moved into what psychologists called moving from an ego orientation to a task orientation. When you focus on your ego, you're like, what are people going to think about me? If you can focus more on the task, I don't care so much what people think about me. I have something important to do, so I want to do that. So in a sense, if we're humble, it frees us not to worry about the impression we make, but to focus more on the job we've got to do.
You know, it's funny you mention that because when Glenn Leverance and I were together on the Morning Air Show, we talked about the very first days of that, and we both share this ministry of being lectors in our parishes. And when we first started, it was nerve-wracking. And, you know, even though I get paid to speak in public, it's different when you're standing in front of a congregation. And Glenn and I were sharing those stories on the air. And then we had that epiphany from the Holy Spirit that it was task-oriented. Our task was to communicate in as clear a way possible the Word of God using the talents that he gave us that we're hopeful that connect with listeners on the radio to do that with, you know, 100, 200, 300 people in the congregation. So that's an important point about, you know, humility and also bringing in the Holy Spirit to help you crystallize what humility is in your life. And this is not, and your book points this out, Dr. Vost, it's not a one size fits all for humility.
Well, that's right, because humility, you know, well, what we all share in common is knowing what we are as human beings, you know, out of the earth. None of us gave ourselves our existence. We owe everything to God. And there also, though, there's unique individual differences, the different gifts and graces and capacities God gave each one of us. We need to know those. We need to know what our limits are and what our strengths are so we can focus on developing those. So humility is that kind of key. And some of the great theologians have said, in a way, humility undergirds and opens the door to all different kinds of virtues. St. Thomas said, virtues are perfections of the different kind of powers God has given us. But we're not going to try to perfect those powers if we already think we're perfect, you know. So in a sense, yeah, humility is that self-knowledge that opens the door that allows us to let God help us grow spiritually.
With Dr. Kevin Vost this afternoon, we're looking at his brand new book, Humble Strength, The Eye-Opening Benefits of Humility. It's a terrific book, and it comes from Ascension Press. You can go to drvost.com. That's with a V as in Victor, drvost.com. Or go up to Ascension Press and get this book as well. And we're curious, as we talk about humility, how you find strength and humility in your life, how you try to ground yourself in humility, and the beautiful gifts and the graces that come from it. Our number here is 888-914-9149 to share your stories here on the Drew Mariani Show, 888-914-9149 to share those stories of humility. Isn't it funny? I went to confession on Saturday, and just kneeling there, using the confession helper, by the way, there's another plug for our Relevant Radio app, but it really is this great helper for an examination of conscience. If you don't have the app yet on your smartphone, use that before you go into the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And then I realize now, in the context of this conversation, that examination of conscience really is another great definition, at least for me, of humility. I'm just like, wait a minute, this is what it's all about. But why is it that it always takes the rearview mirror for us to take a look at that?
Yeah, it really is. And it makes me think of one of the great depictions of humility from one of our great saints, St. Anselm. And I know about it because I always study St. Thomas Aquinas, who tells me about what these other great saints have said before. And when he describes what he calls the seven-story mountain of humility, you kind of climb these steps. But the very bottom, before you start, he says, you're dominated by pride, and he said, that is self-ignorance. Pride is tied into self-ignorance. We don't know ourselves as we truly are. If we fully ascend to humility, then we have true self-knowledge, really knowing what we are. So yeah, that examination of conscience just draws that right in. And for some of the great theories of how we grow in humility, you know, actual confession itself is one of the steps, one of the things we must do, be willing to confess to that priest our own faults, our own sins. So then we reopen our graces to God so we can grow again in humility and in all the supernatural virtues.
You also point out, and at face value, if you haven't read this book yet, we recommend getting it from Dr. Kevin Vost, Humble Strength, The Eye-Opening Benefits of Humility. You think of humility as the valley and not the seven-story mountain, as St. Anselm says, when it's just the opposite. Pride puts you in the valley and humility puts you on top of the mountain.
Yeah, that is intriguing, isn't it? How it flips around, because we often think of, you know, lowly humility, and lowliness, you know, is a synonym in some regards. But there's the great paradox. By realizing our inherent lowliness, that's going to allow us to scale the heights and become truly humble. And the more humble we are, the more closely we're united to God. You know, and of course, Jesus Christ himself explicitly told us to be like him, you know, in his gentleness, in his lowliness, in his humility.
And in being like him, sometimes we're rejected, and that, if you're working on building humility, can be a temporary setback for you. When that happens, what's your recommendation?
Yeah, that is the thing. In many different ways, again, we have that self, that ego orientation, that focus on ourselves, so we might fear being rejected, you know, if we have some task to do, if we have to give a public talk, or if we have to lecture, which I've done in the past too, and I understand those anxieties. It can also be like if we're going to reach out to a person. Maybe we think a person's lonely and we're going to reach out to them, but we think, oh, who am I? They're not going to care if I reach out to them or not. So we want to avoid also like a false humility that can give us an excuse for trying to do the right thing when we're really what we're fearing is being ignored or rejected. But humility can give us that confidence to go ahead and act out. Go ahead and do some kind deed for some person, even though they might ignore it. They might reject you.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. And, you know, again, when you look at, and there's a part of this, Dr. Vost, and you appreciate this as a psychologist, in looking at through the rearview mirror, where it really is a building block for the future, with humility. I was coming back from breakfast, actually, on a Sunday morning after going to the vigil mass the night before and taking a different route home. But I've taken this different route home from time to time. And I noticed up against a telephone pole on this hill was a man. And it's like, gee, I've never seen anybody over there before. And I'm saying, this guy's in a wheelchair. So I drive down the hill and it just bothers me. So I turn the car around and I come back and I roll the window down and I'm just saying, hey, are you okay? And he tells me something about his family. And I said, have you had anything to eat today? He said, no, I'm hungry. So I went and got him breakfast and brought it back. And, he was emotionally disturbed, and he was homeless as well. But, we had that connection, and and he taught me about humility that day because he was so thankful not only for someone just to engage with him. And it was like, okay, I get it, God. This, I've been worrying too much about myself. This is why you put me here. I came back later in the day and subsequently to make sure he had food because it was a relatively warm day. But how God puts people in your life to help you understand what true humility is. And I'm not saying that on the radio to brag about that, but how the last person you would expect to teach you humility did.
Oh, that is absolutely beautiful. Yeah, it shows how we can be looking for these opportunities, you know, because you're showing that person, hey, you are important. It's I'm not so important, I'm not going to take the time to think about your condition. You are important, so you do that. He helps you grow in humility, and then you can imagine the gratitude that, you know, as you said, in his heart, that gratitude there. So in a sense, it's a way for you to both to grow in humility, both to grow in gratitude. So yeah, so those opportunities are before us every day. Even sometimes in the most simple way, we're in a grocery store line, we're somewhere, just making eye contact with the person or smiling at them or saying hello. Those little simple acts enhance our humility, show our love for others, and can make a real difference.
And isn't it amazing when you have just simple eye contact with another human being, how surprised they are? Because I guess we've now spent so much time looking down on our electronic devices that we've forgotten that we can see God in the eyes of someone else.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, we see that with electronic devices. I'm a guy who goes to the gym all the time, and I just noticed today about 8 out of 10 people had their headsets or earplugs in, you know, so it was even hard to initiate conversation because they're just kind of so tuned into the electronics. But I think that's something else we can do. Try to disengage ourselves a little bit more from those different devices so we can just have simple interactions with each other.
One more quick story. It's the double-edged sword of electronic devices. I've got the Relevant Radio app and a couple of other Catholic apps on the iPhone. And very often, as I was this morning at Mass, using the prayers before Mass on the Relevant Radio app. And I realized I've looked so long down at my phone that, hey, wait a minute, you're in church. You're in front of the tabernacle. And this goes back to middle school. We used to go to First Friday Mass, and the third grade was sitting in back of us, and Sister Bonaventure, a storied 411 nun, who I think was number two rated for the heavyweight championship that year, was there with her third grade. And I had heard a noise from the third grade, and I turned around, and she took the edge of her St. Joseph missile and just gave me this bop right in the forehead. I can still feel it to this day. And she said, he's that way. And she pointed to the tabernacle.
Oh.
I remembered that this morning, looking up from, albeit the Relevant Radio app, and doing the prayers before Mass that we have up there. But that's a lesson in humility, and many more in Dr. Kevin Vost's book from Ascension Press called Humble Strength, The Eye-Opening Benefits of Humility, drvost.com, drvost.com. We could talk all day about this, Dr. Vost. Thanks. God bless. Thank you for writing this wonderful book. It's been a gift.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me. God bless you.
John Harper for Drew Mariani this afternoon. I know so many of you have devotion to Saint Teresa of Calcutta, and there's a brand new book out on the 25th anniversary of her death. It's called To Love and Be Loved, A Personal Portrait of Mother Teresa. We'll take a look at that and share your stories about your devotion with Saint Mother Teresa next here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. Thank you for your show.
This is the Drew Mariani Show.
Marvelous show on the radio right now.
On Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower. Your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
The Drew Mariani Show is here for you at 888-914-9149.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew, who's back tomorrow from his Labor Day weekend vacation on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. If you're just joining us, we were talking about humility. Dr. Kevin Vost was our guest in this brand new book called Humbled Strength, The Eye-Opening Benefits of Humility. And we have time to share a couple of your stories. Joe's in Chicago listening to Relevant Radio 950. Joe, what about humility in your life? I struggle with it. I think probably we all do, that balance of pride and humility. Instead of being in the valley of humility, we should have the mountain of humility, as St. Anselm says. What about you?
Well, thanks, John. I loved your shows in the morning when you were on, and you're a real professional, and that's really the fruit of the humility or the humus. And I just wanted to mention about my 8-year sort of battle with developing a 1,500 square foot garden that basically I might as well grow the most valuable product, which is like raspberries, the best raspberries you can get, because they're highly valuable. But what goes into that soil, that humus, you have to take care of it. You have to give it the right fertilizer. You have to get all of the rocks and the vines and all this out of it. Get it the right watering and so on, and take care of that all the time and cultivate it. Right. And then, you know, you get the reward. But the thing is, to take the reward, you could to get pride. People say, those are the most beautiful and the most delicious berries and so on. And they say, well, you should be selling this. I said, no, I give them away.
Right.
And so I do, and it's like their eyes of the people. They said, this is the best berries I've ever had. You know, I think that we have to keep the whole cycle together. Mm. We do the work, we give it away, and that's the gospel itself. And I'll tell you, the joy that this has given me in terms of the response of the receivers and so on, I don't mind. I mean, they see how much work I put in. I'm over there 3 hours a day, you know, but that's fine. Because now I'm picking like 3 pints a day. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And then just give them away. I'd love to give. If you were get into the Chicago area, I would love you to get one of my frozen packs before they go away.
I will come by. We'll make that the next time in Chicago, because we're here in our New York studios. We'll do that.
Right.
Hey, Joe, thank you so much for sharing that. We appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Thank you so much. That's Joe in Chicago. You know, you think about humility, and obviously one of those saints that come to mind, as a matter of fact, it's one of the saints that Dr. Kevin Vost talks about in his book about humility, is Saint Teresa of Calcutta, who has really been woven through the thread of the Drew Mariani Show today here on Relevant Radio, because we began with Monsignor James Patrick Shea from the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota, where they have just started the Saint Teresa of Calcutta community for mothers. And this is to reach out for those young women of college age in crisis pregnancies, or perhaps single moms with babies, to find a destination at the University of Mary. It's not only a place to go to school, but free room and board as well, courtesy of some very generous benefactors and a very large community in the University of Mary sphere who want to celebrate life, of course, from that moment of conception until natural death, the definition of life that you and I have as Roman Catholic men and women. Let's talk a little bit more about this most beloved saint, and perhaps you had interaction with St. Mother Teresa at some point in time. Jim Toohey is joining us from Washington, D.C. today. He was in the George W. Bush administration. He headed up the Office of Faith-Based Community Initiatives. He was also the president of Ave Maria University in Naples, Florida. And he was also St. Mother Teresa's attorney. And for Simon & Schuster, he's just written a new book called To Love and Be Loved, a personal portrait of Mother Teresa on the 25th anniversary of her death. And that 25th anniversary was yesterday, September 5th, 2022. Jim, welcome to Relevant Radio.
Great to be with you, John. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on. I can't wait to read the book. There is such devotion that so many of our Relevant Radio listeners have to St. Mother Teresa. And by the way, if you've got stories and maybe you've been blessed to meet her, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Jim, you know when you're blessed to be doing some of the things that we do, especially in broadcasting, you get invitations to a lot of things. And this was 1984, working in a television newsroom, and the most elaborate and ornate invitation comes in the mail. And so with great care, I open it, and it was St. Mother Teresa's Mother Teresa coming to the University of Connecticut Medical Center, which had a specialty for children with severe illnesses. And it was like, oh my gosh, I'm invited to meet Mother Teresa. Can you think about that as a Catholic kid, to get that invitation in the mail, that blessing? Well, it turns out I got deathly ill about a week before and never had the opportunity to do that. But, you know, nonetheless, you know, there is just such a tremendous witness that she gives to all of us. And Jim, you can also speak to this because you knew the person. And when we really got to know the person of St. Mother Teresa, especially after her death, we saw so many of the same foibles that we have. Very often we put those saints on pedestals, but we saw some of the fears, some of the anxiety, some of the same things that we struggle with.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons that I was excited about writing the book was to try to make sure that we demonstrate that she became a saint not in spite of her humanity, but because of it.
Right.
And the beautiful woman that was behind the saint, and all of her grit and her determination and stubbornness and impatience and joy and sense of humor and all of that, that really made her out to be such a fascinating subject of study that I think the church is just beginning to unpack, you know, her darkness. And also, yeah, I felt like the book would be an opportunity to share stories of her sisters. The sisters had been asking me to write it for a long time, but when I was at Ave Maria University, there really was no time. And so when COVID hit and I had finished my 9 years at Ave, I grabbed the chance to write the book. And so the other motivation, of course, was to write it for the sisters, because they've got, you know, a good, you know, thousand some sisters that didn't know Mother, weren't in the order when she was alive. And so for these young nuns, I was with one yesterday. She never met Mother. And so it's exciting to pass on some of these stories to them.
And of course, we know Mother Teresa, of course, from not only accepting the Nobel Peace Prize, that was in the late 70s, the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1985, and of course, best known as the founder of the Missionaries of Charity, which serves the poorest of the poor. As someone who was her attorney, Jim, and you saw some of those darker moments, and I don't mean this to be a salacious conversation, but there is great wisdom coming out of her humility. Did you ever talk to her about that darkness? Because she talked about receiving the sacrament of reconciliation on a very regular basis, sometimes almost on a daily basis, because she really saw herself as, you know, a sinner of sinners.
Well, she certainly was very humble, and she recognized her need for God. I think that's a characteristic of all the saints, is their utter dependence on divine providence and mercy. And so she was truly a woman that recognized her own frailty. And but no, on the darkness, it was a shock to everyone. When Father Brian Kolodziejczyk's book came out called Come Be My Light, that included all of these letters that described Mother's darkness, he sent me the galley proof to review it prior to publication. And I was working for President Bush at the time, and I was in a hotel in Newark, New Jersey. I can remember this like it was yesterday when the galley came, and as I read it, my jaw dropped, because we all thought
that as hard of a life as she had, and she certainly lived a very mortified life.
Yes.
We thought she was getting the sweet nothings whispered in her ear by God. And in fact, it turns out she was deprived of all of this, that she had nothing but darkness. And so that revelation to know that for decades she felt abandoned, forsaken, rejected, this was stunning to us, John. So, yeah, the church, I think, will continue to ponder her joyfulness, her cheerfulness in the midst of that spiritual desolation that wasn't just a dark night of the soul, but was, in fact, years of such a sense of being abandoned. And so, yeah, I spent a chapter in the book on it, but I think the church is going to spend, you know, a great deal of time in the years to come pondering all of this, what the darkness and its significance is in her own sanctity.
Indeed, our conversation this afternoon with Jim Tuohy, joining us from Washington, D.C., out with a brand new book on the 25th anniversary of the death of St. Mother Teresa, which was yesterday, September 5th. The book from Simon & Schuster is called To Love and Be Loved, A Personal Portrait of St. Mother Teresa. You talk about the mortified life and reading about the mortified life in Father Brian's book, in that galley as you were sitting in a hotel room in Newark, New Jersey. What can we learn about that? Not only about true humility, but how we need to live a little bit more of a mortified life, because sadly, and you know, I'm saying this tongue in cheek, you know, suffering for us is when we don't get a full Wi-Fi signal.
Right. Yeah. I think that when you were with Mother, and I had the privilege to travel a good bit with her and drive her around in certain cities, and fly with her with Sandy McMurtry and see her compassion in action, you just saw a woman that gave her all. She made a private vow to refuse God nothing, and that was in the early 1960s, and she really lived that. She also urged her sisters to always choose the hardest part, and this was a very much an ethic of the Missionaries of Charity, to not only go to the poorest of the poor, but to choose the hardest part of the service. The mother was famous for cleaning toilets and for taking on the worst work, cleaning out wounds of the people that came into Kaligat. So, yeah, she was physically mortified, but the spiritual desolation she experienced, you know, I think it was much like Christ with the, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Right.
She ended up learning to befriend the darkness. And I think that a lot of your listeners may feel lonely or depressed or discouraged. Mother experienced those sentiments too, and I think lived with an even greater dependence on God to help her cope with that, that she persevered, that she didn't quit. I was in her intensive care unit room in Calcutta, and, you know, some of her critics would say, oh, well, Mother lost her faith, you know, the Time magazine cover story that said, did Mother Teresa lose her faith, you know. The reality was she had a tabernacle in her room. She was very convinced of the presence of God, even if she didn't feel any of it. And I think there's a lesson there that You trust that God is with you even in times of trial, just as Jesus did and certainly his mother did.
Because as she said, we were created for a purpose, for greater things, to love and to be loved. And that was in one of her most famous, and it seems like everything that she said was, you know, you hung on to every single word because it was something that really put you on or kept you on the path to heaven. Of course, that was from her commencement address at St. Thomas Aquinas College. We're sharing stories about St. Mother Teresa along with Jim Tuohy, who is the author of a brand new book on the 25th anniversary of her death. That book from Simon & Schuster is called To Love and Be Loved, A Personal Portrait of Mother Teresa. And we're sharing your stories, your devotion to St. Mother Teresa. Perhaps you were blessed to meet her or to see her at some point in time. Or Mother Teresa, St. Mother Teresa, was very instrumental in perhaps keeping you or getting you on the path to heaven. A member of your family, love to hear those stories right now at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, as we continue here on The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Your life connected.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew, who's back tomorrow from his Labor Day vacation as we look at the life, the influence that St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta had on so many of our lives. Jim Tuohy is joining us. He is the author of a brand new book that's just out on the 25th anniversary of St. Mother Teresa's death. The book from Simon & Schuster is To Love and Be Loved, A Personal Portrait of Mother Teresa. And Jim was St. Mother Teresa's lawyer for some 25 years. And of course, we're sharing your stories about your devotion to St. Mother Teresa. Perhaps you were blessed to see her or meet her. And tomorrow morning, and this is a little bit of holy homework for you, when you listen to Morning Air tomorrow morning, and Father Marcel Tyon is on as your spiritual director, call in and have him talk about when he was in seminary at the North American College in Rome, and he's given the assignment to take this little Volkswagen out to the airport to, quote, pick, this is a true story, Jim, could you pick up a couple of nuns who are coming in? And so they give him the assignment, and he drives out to the airport in this little Volkswagen that someone has given him, and it turns out to be Mother Teresa. Someone else. And so he tells a great story about that, but we're also sharing your devotion to her as well. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Joanne's in Portland, Maine, listening to Relevant Radio 106.7. Hi, Joanne. Welcome.
John. Hi, Jim. I had the opportunity as a nurse to not actually speak with Mother, but she was an ICU patient in our medical unit in 1987. I don't think most people, as you probably mentioned, Jim, knew how ill she was with heart failure, yet she had tremendous drive and a work ethic. And then a woman here in Portland, Susan Conroy, that you probably have met, Jim, she spent a couple years at, I think it was close to two, volunteering in Calcutta with Mother and the Sisters, and she's written a book. Actually, she has excerpts on her website, susanconroy.com, and she's been interviewed with Father Mitch Pacwa. But 10 years later, Mother came back to see her sisters just a little south of San Diego, and our parish priest was the confessor for that group of sisters. So he told us that Mother was going to be at a Mass. So we went down there at 7 in the morning, and sure enough, there was this little person with her little sweater surrounded by these Mexican football players, you know, like bodyguards, walking her down to the altar. And she had us up after Mass. We all processed, like, as you would go up for getting your throat blessed, we all got a blessing. She touched your forehead. And when she looked at you, I mean, those brown eyes, it was like she was touching your soul. And it was just the homily she gave. It was more like commemorative comments to parents, thanking them for letting their children serve the Lord as religious or priests. It was wonderful.
That's a great story. And the lovely thing about her is she was so accessible. People could reach her, touch her, talk to her, engage with her. And she was doing that up to the very end. I mean, in 1997, she aged so beautifully in how she handled and navigated, as you pointed out, serious heart problems. She had three heart attacks at least, and she had a stroke, and she had a lot of other health issues that she dealt with and moved on from and took her medicine and went on with her life. So she aged with dignity. I have an organization called Aging with Dignity, and our inspiration came from Mother and how she handled and navigated the challenges of aging. And it was remarkable, particularly when she died, to have the death that she had wanted, which was in her own bed in the Mother House, surrounded by her sisters and having had, you know, confession and, right before she died. So really, Mother is a model for how to deal with sickness and illness and aging.
And also, Jim and Joanne, one of the things that Mother Teresa always talked about was happiness. And there's absolutely no reason to be unhappy, she would always say, because God himself is with us, even in suffering. So she put suffering in perspective. And it's that happiness, again, which is, you know, a tremendous role model in St. Mother Teresa that so many of us struggle with.
Well, it's hard to be happy when you're in pain and when you're suffering from disease and illness or even loneliness. She would always say, accept an offer. And that was her advice, that if she said, take whatever he gives and give whatever he takes with a big smile. And so, you know, to her, whether if God gives you Parkinson's, then you all for Jesus with Parkinson's, and you accept it and you try to offer it. And this is not easy to do, But when people have that attitude, they find that their burden is much lighter and that they're sharing in the sufferings of Christ. And Mother clearly was very purposeful and intentional in how she suffered. And it was, you know, an inspiration to her sisters around her, very evangelical, because she also took pain medicine. She was in pain. The night that she died, she was given a good amount of pain medicine because of the intense pain she was experiencing in her back. And so she was not, you know, opposed to pain medicine, but it would, even with that, you know, she was in a lot of agony, and she just showed enormous character and faith in the midst of those trials.
And you also talked about the power of a smile. We were chatting about that a little bit earlier today, and just, you know, engagement with someone else, looking in their eyes and just simply giving them a smile, which is a part of the foundation of humility. We were talking about humility before you were on, Jim. And the same Mother Teresa would always talk about this. If I recall, it was during the Nobel Peace Prize speech that she gave, because she talked about the smile being the beginning of love. And that sounds, it's so simple, but it's so compelling at the same time. And it's really the very foundation of who we are as men and women of Christ.
That's right. I mean, she was asked one time, you know, about peace, how to spread peace. And she said, smile at one another.
Right.
So, I mean, she was aware of all the global conflicts, but she realized that the simple smile had such a healing effect. And I would even say evangelical effect, because so often, what I love about Pope Francis, he speaks so much about the joy of the gospel, because we can sometimes see dour Christianity and its negative effect on the spreading of the gospel.
And also, obviously lived a life of service with the Missionaries of Charity. And, you know, we're all called to that life of service using the gifts and talents that God has given us. We always have to remind us of the fact that, you know, we have to give that on a daily basis, regardless of the cost. And that's tough to live in a 2022 all about me culture.
No, you're absolutely right. And it goes to the heart of why you're on this earth and what your vocation and how. One of the things at Adrian Dignity, we have five wishes, which helps families plan for, discuss end of life care. One of the questions has to do with, you know, how do I want to be remembered? What do I want my loved ones to know? And a lot of it is this issue of witness, you know, what mattered to me most, because we can get caught up in the issues of medical care and all of the end of life issues there. But at the end of the day, we're looking at, well, what is our legacy going to be? What's our spiritual legacy going to be? And I think Mother was very clear that her role was to simply witness, be a light of Christ and be a witness to the gospel and a witness of this love that God has for mankind, particularly the poorest of the poor, that she saw Jesus as in his distressing disguise of the poorest of the poor. So yeah, you're right. It's a challenge for us, but that cheerfulness was a trademark of the Missionaries of Charity. It was, Mother insisted on it. I was with her in San Francisco one time, John, when she was talking to these young women that were about to take their first vows. And she stood there and she said, if you can't smile and be cheerful, go home. She said, the poor have enough problems without you coming in and bringing a sour face. And then she proceeded to imitate a grumpy, sad sister. And I wrote about this in the book. And, you know, the women there all laughed, but they also got her point.
Right.
You know, you can't be a missionary of charity if you can't smile and laugh.
Absolutely. The book is To Love and Be Loved, A Personal Portrait of Mother Teresa. It's from Simon & Schuster, from someone who knew her quite well. He was her attorney for 25 years, Jim Tuohy. And again, the book is To Love and Be Loved, A Personal Portrait of Mother Teresa. Could you give us that website one more time that you were talking about, the other initiative that you're involved with? Because I know our Relevant Radio listeners would love to know what that's all about.
Sure. It's fivewishes.org. Or agingwithdignity.org, one word, both of them. And it's been, Mother encouraged me to found it. I did it in 1996. Five Wishes is now, there are 40 million copies of it, because it helps families.
Sure.
You know, I worry about euthanasia. I founded it because I feel like it's always easier to kill someone than to care for them.
Yep.
And I worry about how the disabled and the poor are going
absolutely
to be
all those
all
issues of life that are so critical to us today
and
in our culture.
Yes.
Jim, God bless you. Again, the website is fivewishes.org, and of course the book from Simon & Schuster on Mother Teresa as well. Jim, thank you and God bless here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.